shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. When the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new,
in the new Jerusalem.
And a shining crown.
When it's over, when it's over.
Jesus Christ. Let's straight away open our Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. If you have a Bible ready with you, we start from verse 8 up to 11. And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits, and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the highest thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without. Shall thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. Hebrews 8, 10 and 11. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, say the Lord, I will put my law into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Let us all pray together.
Dieu notre Père, encore une fois de plus, nous te sommes infiniment reconnaissants de ton amour, de ta grâce, ton miséricorde et ta beauté.
Dear Father, once again, we come before thy presence to thank you for the privilege that you have given to us to be present in thy house, not to see one another, but to commune with thee, Father. How privileged people we are to be called the people of the end time, Father, that you have sent us a message like in time of Moses. So, Father, we thank you so much, Father. Sometimes we undermine the privilege of it, Father, but we can see how the world is going to the decay, Father, but you give us the light. You have opened our eyes that way we should see how the things are going, and we shall have a position in the word of God. Father, we ask you, as the song was sung, the praise was given unto thee in return, we ask you that you shall come down and fill of each of us with thy Holy Spirit, Father, that you shall be present in each of us' heart, Father, that you shall dwell in us, Father, that we shall be able to reflect the light of the gospel. Without thee, we can't do nothing, Father. Also, we want to remember all the saints that are not present here tonight, Father. There's not more that we can do. Just commit them at thy hand, because you the only one who can deal faithfully to their heart, Father. That's why we ask you that you shall touch their heart wherever they are, Father. Also, we want to remember the pastor and his family at thy hand, that you shall bless him, Father, that you shall be with him, that will strengthen him, that on Friday when we will gather here, Father, we shall receive something special from thee, Father, because each time when we come under expectation, Father. We come believing that you will speak to us, believing that you will answer to our prayer, that you will minister to our need, Father, that we are here because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father. If there's anything that doesn't confess you, Spirit, in this place, doesn't confess your name, Father, we ask you that you shall cast it out to the dry place, that you, Holy Spirit, should take control of everything, that you shall give us the liberty of the Spirit, Father. If somewhere there's unconfessed sin, Father, we want to bring them all under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you shall be able to commune with us and look to us through the shedding blood of the Lamb. Father, we commit all at thy hand in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, amen. Amen. You maybe have a seat before we could enter to a time of prayer. We want to look from the scripture. We read in the book of Exodus chapter 25. If you read in the verse 8, it was the Lord speaking. And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That the desire of the Lord is to dwell among his people. Now you can see that the nature of God is not to separate with his people, but to be together with his people. Now, I will read for you a quote before we start. From Christ, the mystery of God revealed. The prophet gives something very good here. If you can bear it in mind as we go, you will understand why we read it. Now, the prophet in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. It's a paragraph 154. And he says, first, he said God has a threefold purpose that he wants to reveal himself. He said, first, God wants to express himself completely. And God in Christ, he fulfilled it. And second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body and the bride, till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position. Now that was the purpose inside of God's mind. Those are three things that God wants to do. But if you, from the scripture even we read in Exodus, we could see that even through shadow, God could be able to manifest these things through a certain level. You see that the desire of God is to dwell among his people. And he has Moses, we know, as their people of Exodus, like you and I in the third Exodus. They were in the first Exodus. And God showed Moses the vision in the mountain, how they have to build up the temple and how they have to do the ark according to God's pattern, to the vision that Moses saw in heaven. Which it means that here on earth, it was the shadow of a reality that was in heaven. And that reality that was in heaven, as we go, you will see it was nothing but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord manifested himself in that way, and he gave one man, that was Moses, the vision to come and tell his people that the way God wanted things to be done, and that the people could do that way, and God will come and dwell among his people. Now, if you go back to Isaiah, you will find that Isaiah tells us that God, he will come and dwell among his people. And we know that that means Emmanuel, God among his people. Now we see that it's always the desire of God to dwell among his people. But God also gives the vision, the way the things must be made before God could come and dwell among his people. He tells Moses, if you read from verse 1, we want to read it, you can read in your own. He told him how the people must give the offering, and they must give it from their own heart willingly. That after giving the offering now, and he showed him how the temple will be made, that God can dwell there. And there was something special there with the ark. The prophet said everything in Old Testament, it represents, it typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is there, it is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, if it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and his wife, they are one. Amen. Now, if it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, it must also speak about the bride. Because the bride and the bridegroom, they are one. Amen. Now, God wanted to dwell among his people. I think it's a great privilege when God wants to dwell among his people. There's nothing more greater to a Christian life, to someone in his Christian life, than God to make his heart, his dwelling place. I think that is your desire and my desire, that God could come and dwell inside of me, and God can dwell inside of you, and God can dwell in among us. That is a great desire for every genuine Christian. All of us have been Christian. That is the burning desire inside of our life. That if God can come in a way that he can dwell among us, and all our prayer requests will be answered. All our need will be met. Everything that we need, once God is dwell among us, is the solution for everything. Now, God wants to show the things that he wanted to show them in the future. He wanted to manifest them, and he showed them through the shadows that God wants to dwell among his people. And he told Moses that you must do these things, but according to the heavenly pattern. Not the way you wanted to do things, but there's a way that God respects. That is God provide the way. God always respects his way. If he said to do something, and if you do it according to the way of God, the heaven must answer. The heaven must respond from it. Something must come down and vindicate it. Each time when something is done according to the will of God, something must happen. Even your own life and my life, when we walk according to God's will, God must vindicate it. And God must do something. And the heaven will not remain silent because we have obeyed the way of the Lord. And the scripture says the obedience is better than the sacrifice. Amen. We can sacrifice our time, but the most important thing is to obey the word of God. Yes, once we obey the word of God, things God will respect it, and God will vindicate it. Now, we can be Christian for a long time, but not obeying the way of the scripture, there's nothing that will happen. These people could have their own mind. Another person can come. Maybe in Israel, he can arise and says, no, we don't need to do the way Moses says. I know a better way. I know another wood that we can use and that we can build the ark for the Lord. God will never come and vindicate it, because it never been God provide the way. And God always has one voice that he speak through it, that he can make his plan known to his people. That's the way God works. Even in the time of Noah, you will find that Noah was the only mouth that God was able to use, that he can speak to the people and preach the people the gospel, that God has commissioned me to build the ark, and that ark will save the people from the judgment. And we know that the water represents the judgment, the prophet tells us. That ark that he will build, he will save the people from the judgment. Now we see that God always does things in that way. In each time, God used one man to come with a vision. And the man will unveil the vision to the people. And the people, once they do things according to the way of God, God must honor it. God must respect it. And God will do it and will vindicate it. It's the same way with Abraham. When he did things according to the way God tell him to do, God come and vindicate the covenant with Abraham with the circumcision. And we know that is the type of the Holy Spirit. And God always does it that way. Now you see that the most important things is there, that God tell Moses that they should have a certain type of the wood. The prophet said that shittim wood is really the acacia wood. Is that what God tell them? To go and take it and make it. And before it become a wood, it was in a branch somewhere. It was on a tree somewhere. And they have to cut it from there. They have to separate that portion of the tree and come it to fix it, that it could be a wood, that it can be used for God's kingdom. Amen. You see, that separation must happen first. It's the same thing like you and I. It starts with the separation first. Because when God calls us, the calling is come out among them. Now he has to take that wood, among other things, now to use it for his temple, to use it to make it an ark. Now you see that in the process of cutting the wood, it's not something easy. It's something also difficult, because they have to use a big knife to cut it, or the machine, they will use it. And they have to take out some of the part that is not necessary for it, for them, they could be able to use for the things God wanted them to use. And the prophet tells us that The wood always speak about humanity. It's a type of humanity. The wood is always you type and my type. And he bring it to Christ. He said that Christ now has to come like a man, like a human, you and I, and to be cut from God, that he can be used for the service of God. Now you see, that is the same thing like you and I. When God calls us now, he calls us to a total separation. It's the same thing that what happened when God called Abraham. He told him to separate from his kindred and to separate from his parent and to separate himself from his nation, and in order for him to be a blessing to the people. You see, that is the first stage. If Abraham was able to respect that one, at the end of the road, Abraham must reach to the adoption. He must see the manifestation of the hand of God inside of his life. Because it was God who started the work. Amen. Now, Moses, the vision didn't come from Moses. The vision came from God. It was God who shows Moses the vision. It was God who expressed his desire to Moses. He tell him, there's something inside of me that I'm feeling. There's an inner tribute inside of me that I want to dwell among my people. That is God's desire. God wanted to dwell in you, and he wants to dwell in me. According to the Hebrews chapter 8, where we read. And you will see even Acts chapter 7. Let's read Acts chapter 7. You see that Paul telling us here is something very good in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, to show that you will understand that he is speaking about you and I. That God's desire is to dwell inside of your hearts and to dwell inside of my heart. That is the desire of God. And that God started that work, he will not leave it half work. God must finish it. Now, in Acts chapter 7, verse 47. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwell not in the temple made with the hands. As said the prophet, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, said the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Now we see that God doesn't dwell in the house that he built with the hand of man. God doesn't dwell in a building like this. If this place becomes a dwelling place of God, because you and I, we are here. If we leave this building, God will leave this building. God always will be in you, and he will be in me. And this place become a dwelling place of God, because he, the body of Christ, are gathering. But without the body of Christ gathering here, this building is the same like other building. Now we see there now, God tell Moses that they should make an ark, that where they have to put now, the table now, of the law, that inside of the ark, and the prophet said the ark, it represented the human heart. That where God gonna dwell there, where the message of Moses will be put inside there, inside of the ark. But you see, the scripture says now, in verse 9, and it says, according to all that I showed thee after the pattern of heaven. Let's go a bit down. And they say, in verse 11, and the thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shall thou overlay it. Now, something very important today. Now, we want to look at those things. You say, thou shalt overlay it with the pure gold. Now, we know that the gold is speaking about deity. It's speaking about God. It's speaking about how God is. And now it says that the wood itself is not enough. Something must be overlay on it. And the prophet show us that the same way that the things has to happen there is the same way that must happen to the humanity. You and I, for us to become a dwelling place of God, we must be inside and outside overlaid with gold, which is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be overlaid with God within and without. Something has to take a place, which it means that the knowledge of the word of God should not remain only here. It has to be also inside of our inside. There, then God can put his word there. Then God can come and dwell inside of your heart and dwell inside of my heart. But remember to begin it. It's God's desire. It's God that desire to dwell in his people. God that desire to be together with his children. Now, it's not your desire and it's my desire. If it's the desire of God, then God must fulfill it. Because it's God that desired. But for God to fulfill it, we must walk according to the vision. We have to do things according to the vision. And you will see that even Acts prove it. Because even you read the scripture, it tells you that you and I are the temple of the living God. Amen. And it moved from there now. It started with the shadow. That the ark there was just the shadow with the type of Christ. And the prophet said also the tribe or the type of the bride. Because the mercy seat is in the bride. Now we find that you and I, we are someone in the eyes of God. But we must get to a level where we will become the dwelling place of God. We must get to a position where we can become a dwelling place of God. Now the only way to get there and do what the scripture says. It's very easy. It's not complicated. If it was something complicated, God will not request us to do it. If it was something difficult, God knew the ability that he put in Moses. He knew that Moses with his people, they will be able to build the temple. They will be able to do the ark according to the vision that I show him. Now, God, by calling you and calling me, God knew before everything. He knew that we'll be able to make it if we are willing to do it. Now, we must be willing to do things according to the way that God has ordained. Now, we see that God doesn't dwell in a building that made by man's hand. But God has his own building that he has created, you and I, that God wants to dwell there. But something must happen to our life, our humanity, before God could come and dwell. It must be overlaid with deity, with Christ, with the pure gold. Something must happen without and within. Not just outside, no. We must look clean inside also. Not just outside, something must happen there. The word of God must be overlaid inside of our heart for it to become a place that God can dwell. Something must be driving out from inside of our heart for God to dwell there. Now, God has provided everything and God has unveiled all the vision to Moses. He showed Moses exactly what he has to do. And in your time, in my time, in our time, God has shown the prophet everything that we need. For us to get to the adoption, God has shown the prophet everything. And you and I have the tapes and has the books. Everything that we need to get where God wants us to get, God already provided all the resources. God will not ask something that he knew that we will not be able to do it. If God asked Moses, he knew also that the resources was available for them to be able to build the ark according to what God wanted them to build. Otherwise, God will be a bad businessman. If God knows that they will not have enough resources, why he will ask Moses to do it then? Then later Moses will say, "Ah, God, we are running out of stuff. We can't have enough stuff to do the things." No. You and I, we can't make any excuse to God. We must be available that God could make our hearts a dwelling place. Now, that's why I like so much last Sunday message, you know. And all this week, it's very a blessing. Because there is something that we can do inside of our life. There's a certain separation we can meet. We can meet. That we can separate ourselves, we can clean up our life, that God can feel welcome now to dwell inside of our heart. Because that is the desire of God. But God will not dwell there if the things is not done according to the vision. No matter how many times they can take, no matter how things they can do them, but if it's not according to the vision, God will never come and dwell there. God will never come and dwell there. So we saw it with Christ. God, you're the temple of God. When Christ did things according to the scripture, could you imagine
that Christ has to fulfill all the type. And the prophet tell us that the reason Christ has to go to the water, because he must fulfill all the type. He must fulfill everything that was spoken about him. Being the archetype, he must fulfill all the type. That he has to respect the word of God to the letter, to obey everything. What the word of God is, what the word of God says, that he can be able at that day when he went to the water, coming out of the water of Jordan, and the heaven was open, and the heaven vindicated now, and the Spirit of God come and dwell permanently inside of Christ. Showing that it always been the desire of God now. But Christ now is become a mysterious body. It's a mystical body. Now you and I are the body of Christ now. And Christ must dwell inside of us. But if we do things according to the vision, I so much believe that God will come and dwell among us. Because that is the desire of God. God said that the covenant I will make unto them, that once God dwells inside of you, once God is dwelling inside of me, there's no need for one to cheat his neighbor. There's no need for one to cheat his brother or her sister. Because the Spirit of God inside of you will lead you to all the truth. It will lead you to all the word of God. That's how so important it is that once God is there inside, as he says in Hebrews, once he's dwelling there inside of our heart, God is there. There's nobody who wants to tell someone when to come to church, when not to come. No, because God himself will teach everybody. God himself inside of the heart of someone. You don't need someone to teach you. You don't need someone to call you. Say, but George, come to church. No. What make it? Because God inside of your heart is telling you what to do. It's telling you that today is Wednesday. You must go to the prayer meeting. Now you see that God inside of you, himself the master teacher, he will teach you to fulfill all his word. That it's so important that we must make sure that everything inside of our life is clean, that God could be able and fulfill his promise that himself he has made. That we must separate ourselves for things that are not important. That's why the obedience is better than the sacrifice. Because we can sacrifice and studying the message, it can remain here. But it must come inside the day, that where God dwells, inside of the heart of man, that where God dwells there, that where God has promised that he will dwell there. The prophet says, God says to, it has to happen that way. He said that specific wood, that's something that God chooses himself, that you and I, we've been chosen by God. It's specific someone. To the eyes of the world, we can look nobody. And if you look at other wood, you can say, they could stand better than the acacia wood. Say, but why God choose it? God knows that this is the best one. God choose the best that he knows. And you and I, we may look one another down. But God knew that you are the best. And he knew that I'm the best. Maybe we can look ourselves to our weakness or things that happen to our life. But God never looked that way. God knows that you will make it until the end of the road. If he didn't know, he could not choose you. God is not a bad businessman. God is a good businessman, and he knows how to invest. And he knows how to make the choice. When he makes the choice of someone, God knows that that person has everything inside of him that he could be able to do the job. But sometimes we look to ourselves and say, me, I don't think I can make it. It happened. It happened to Moses too. Coming with the people. And he said to God, it will take more than a man to lead these people. But God knew that Moses was just a vessel in the hand of God. It will be God, the pillar of fire, that will be doing everything. Now the same thing for you and I. In our own, we can't do anything. It must be God in the form of the Holy Spirit that can do something inside of your life and inside of my life. In our own, we can't do anything. Now God tell him how to do it. And he said, do according to the vision that I have shown unto thee. And pitch it out and in. Something must be done outside and inside. And I remember with the pastor, we saw that the inside, you know, it's that what reflect the outside, reflect what is inside. If God is in the inside, the outside will reflect the gold. It has to be the same thing. Because the same gold must be applied inside and outside. If the gold is inside, we will see the gold outside. If Christ is inside of the heart, we will see Christ outside. Christ will be manifest to the way we talk, to the way we do our things, to the way we react, to the way we manifest things in this life. Christ inside. That gold that is inside must also be outside. But remember to begin it, it wasn't your choice. It wasn't Moses' choice to call God to dwell among them. It was God that told Moses that make it this way, then I can come dwell among my people. That is God's desire, is to dwell among his people and have a preeminence in the life of his people. Now, God wants to have a preeminence inside of your life and in my side, in my life. But you must remember that the things must be done according to the vision. And the vision is the message of the hour. The things has to be done according to the vision. When the prophet says that it must be a total separation for God to be able to come and dwell inside of you, it has to be that way. There's no a shortcut to it. Everything must be under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be that way. There's no a shortcut for it. Now we see that if they could take many time, it will depend on them. Because God already supply everything. Give them how to do and provide all the resources. He made them available in among the children of Israel that they could be able to do the temple. And once the temple was done, according to the vision of God, according to the way he showed to Moses, heaven was open. Something will come down and fill the whole temple. And the presence of God remained there because something was done according to the scripture. And you have to ask yourself, why am I in this condition? I'm doing things according to the vision. Because God promised, if the things are done according to the vision, God must dwell inside of your heart. God has to do it. If God is not dwelling inside there, somehow, certain things are not according to the vision. Because why everything is in order? When everything is according to the vision, God must come and dwell. Because that is the desire of God, that he can dwell inside of you and he can dwell inside of me. That's the desire of God. That's the desire of God that he can have a preeminence inside of your life and inside of my life. And he can restore his kingdom inside of your life, spiritually speaking, and inside of my life. That the kingdom of God can be inside of you and the kingdom of God can be inside of me. Once the kingdom of God is inside of us, we are not conducted by the law of this land. No matter what the law says, but we have the constitution, that the constitution is a heavenly constitution. Amen. Because the kingdom that is inside of you, it's a heavenly kingdom. Amen. And that kingdom has its constitution. As all the earthly kingdom has their constitution, the kingdom of God too, a spiritual kingdom, has its constitution. Now that kingdom inside of you, you will act according to that kingdom. Amen. Because that kingdom has a constitution where there's a great God that is rich in mercy. You will have mercy. Because the same God has that in his constitution. It shows that God is full of mercy. If that's the same thing inside of you, the spirit of forgiveness must be inside of us. Because that's the same God. That is in the constitution of our God. He forgave and he put them in the sea of forgiveness. Because that is the kingdom of God restored inside of the heart of man. In the form of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God must be inside of his church. Amen. Something has to happen. Now we see that it must go through step before God could get to that place where he can dwell inside of you and he can dwell inside of me. And the prophet said it has to be through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, from long time, God was prophesying and God was promising to dwell inside of the heart of his people. God has to move from this tabernacle to Christ and from Christ to the body of Christ. And God could dwell inside of you and he could dwell inside of me the way he dwelt in Christ and the way he dwelt in the ark. that the desire of God, if you open your Bible to the book of Ezekiel, read the scripture there, that God desire always that he can dwell among you and I. Amen. It always been the desire of God. God never changed. God want to dwell in you, and God want to dwell in me. But we see that before he could come and dwell among his people, things has to be done according to the vision. It must be done according to the vision. Everything must be done the way God shows to Moses that the things should be done. And the prophet tell us, and he said the same thing here. In the spoken word, we've been reading it for many times with the pastor. The interval. The prophet said, notice, you put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit. Or you could not even get along with him. You cannot get along with yourself. That's all the devil spirit you had in you. So, it's got to put a new spirit in you. You got to put a new spirit in you so that you can get along with his spirit. And the prophet say, amen. And I will put a new spirit in them. And I will put my spirit in them. And God will dwell inside of the heart of his people. Now that is always the desire of God. You see that the desire of God is not to be separate with his people. God's desire is to be one with his people. Now that the desire of every bridegroom is to be one with his bride. Every bridegroom is to be one with his bride. And the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to be one with his bride. That is you and I. Even as individual, God wanted to be with you and God wanted to be with me. And God wants to dwell inside of us. That many things we have nobody, have no need of someone to teach us. Because he, in Ezekiel chapter 36, let's read the scripture and say that it never changed. It's always the desire of God. That God desire that way. Now, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of you flesh, out of you flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Amen. Now God wants to give us something. You never ask for it. That's the desire of God. For God to dwell inside of you and inside of me. It's not something difficult. We can't manufacture it. We never seek for it. It's God's desire. If you could understand starting from Exodus, that is God's desire to dwell among his people. It will make the things easy. That you and I, what we need, just to surrender everything. And God can come and dwell among us. God wants to change the condition of our life. That's the desire of God. For God calling you. For God cutting you off from other people. And make you a believer of the message. It means that God has a purpose inside of his mind. For your life and my life. Otherwise God could not call us. Why God will call us just to play church? No, it's not the purpose of God. It's us, it's not God. God, by calling you, by calling us, is to give us a new heart. To give us a heart that he can be able and come right his word inside the day. That there's no need of someone to teach you. That is the desire of God. If we could understand that, it will push us to surrender everything. And to separate ourselves from everything that can hinder God to come and dwell inside of our heart. That could be something that could motivate you. That these things, I want to be to done away with it. Maybe my anger, I want to finish with it. Gossip, whatever it is, I want to finish with it. I want God to come and manifest and dwell inside of my heart. Because that is the desire of God. If you look at in a spiritual way, you see that it's a powerful desire inside of the heart of God. That God wants to dwell in you and God wants to dwell in me. What could be something? It could be something that can push us to desperation. It could be something that can push us to prayer. That let me pray until I die completely to myself and God come and dwell inside of me. It could be something that can push you far. See, I will sacrifice even my sleep. You know, 2 weeks before when the pastor was preaching on Saturday, God spoke to me directly. And something happened to me. And we went at Brother Vegas place. I told the pastor, I said, God, wonderful deal, faithful to me at that Saturday. God spoke to me. It was something personal to me. And when he mentioned, he said something, you wake up at night, maybe around 4, and there's no sleep. And that time you should not spend it for nothing. You shall go and pray. And from that time, when I wake up at night, I go and kneel down and pray. I said, this was something personal from God to me. It was God teaching me something. I said, I take it with serious. I said, no, that's the God. When God speaks to you, no matter which way God speaks to you, many times God comes in the way of a correction. He comes to correct us. He comes to fix our life. And some of the things will be hitting hard inside of the heart. But a child of God will praise God. He said, thank you, God. Now, I know that you are my Father. Because you can speak to me even the things nobody saw me. But you can see them and speak personally to me. The things that is inside of my heart, you can speak to me. I'm happy to know that you know me as your child. Because when he speaks to you that way, you know that God knows you. Because it's something, it's a privilege. You should never take an offense with the word of God. If to do with the preaching, me, I never take offense with the preaching. I don't take offense with the preaching because Jesus himself, he says, woe unto him that will be offended of me. You see, that we never be offended by the word of God. We cannot be offended by one another, but if it comes to the way of the scripture, if something is preached, I didn't understand it or not, I can think that maybe the preacher knows my life, that's why he's speaking about it, I will take it as coming from God. That should be the right attitude of a believer. But once you take the things of God, like, this one, the pastor thing, he was targeting me. You miss all the point. Maybe God wants to help you. Maybe God wanted to deal with something inside of your heart. How will you know that God wants to deal with you? If God can't speak to you, if you come to church and God doesn't speak to you, you must ask yourself, why did you come for? Because you didn't come to church to see one another. We come to church that God can speak to us and we can speak to him back. Something must come from God that will help me to make me a better Christian. Me, I love those kind of meetings. When I come and God speak to me. I don't like to come to a meeting where I didn't receive something, anything. But if I come and God speak to me, it will push me to pray. It will push me closer to God. But to come at a level that God is speaking to you, it's something that is very important. And now, the desire of God is that he could change the heart of the people. That he could change the stony heart to a flesh heart. That the desire of God, that he can change, and he can change me. But we must be willing, because there's a free moral ages. We must be willing. You must be willing that God could change you. Because if you are not willing God to change you, you will not change at all. Amen. You can come thousands of times in church. You will not change at all. Because you must be willing inside there. Because he told them even in the beginning of Exodus 25, that the offering that man must give, it must be willingly. They must give themselves from their heart. If you want to give the offering of your life, nobody shall push you. You shall give it to God willingly. Everything you have to do it, you must do it with joy. You must do it with love. You say, I give this with love to God. I don't want it anymore. Then God can change you because there's enough power in the word of God to change the life of the people. There's enough power to change your life and to change my life. And there's enough power in the word of God to bring us to the adoption. Because that's where God wants you and I to get. That God is not a problem with God. The problem is with us. And the problem is with our nature. The problem is with our own personal life. That's why the prophet said, my first enemy is Branham. The first enemy is yourself. It's not your brother, it's not your sister. It's yourself, is that you have to die to yourself. You have to die to yourself when something happens and God is dealing faithfully with your soul. You shall take God to that. You shall thank God and say, this is wonderful. This is the word of God. No matter the way the people behave, me, I must behave right because the word of God requires me to behave that way. That's the way of the scripture. And it says now, in verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute. Now, first, God has to give you a new spirit, then he can put his spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit. Now, the prophet tells us that the new spirit is your spirit. It's just God changing your life, but it's not the Holy Spirit. He said, my spirit is the spirit of God that God has to put inside of you, that you will be able now. And they say, I put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. What God is inside of you, what the word of God is written inside of you, you will be able to keep the statute of God, to keep the commandment of God, and to do things according to the way of God. Because the spirit of God is inside of you. You have no need of someone to teach you. You have no need of someone to tell you how to dress. No. Because that spirit of God inside of you, it will lead you to everything. It will show you how to do things. You have nobody to tell you should not do this. But that's why it's so important to ask you that we should be united with God. That something should take a place inside of your life and inside of my life. That me and God, we are one. Because the bride and the bridegroom must be one. It must be one. The bride and the bridegroom must be one. If they are not one, there is trouble all the time. There is trouble. Even if you go to a family where the husband and the wife are not one, they fight all the time. Every day is just a hell in the house, fighting. After 2 days, they are good. Things go back to normal. But after a few days, fight and fight. There's no peace within them because they are not one. Once they are one, there must be a peace there. Now, it's the same. Once the church and the Christ are one, the church will rest. Amen. That is a resting place. That there's no need because you know that the husband is the provider of everything. He will provide to all my needs. He will do everything that I need. And now you are sure that me there's nothing to worry. Because he's my shepherd. He will lead me to everywhere where I need to go. He will provide to all my needs. Once you get to that place where you and Christ are one, to inside of inside, to in level where just you and Christ, and everything is shut behind you, there you are at rest. There you rest completely. There you are at peace. You don't worry about anything else. You're just praising God. You're just doing things according to the word of God. No matter what others does, you will not worry about it. Say, I don't care what others do. No, me, I do things according to the way of God. That you find people like Joshua. Because there was so much one with the message of Moses. There was so much one with God himself. When the Hebrew children start to compromise, Joshua said, you choose you who you're going to serve. But me and my house, we already make our choice. We will serve the Lord. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It becomes a time that something becomes personal. He said, I don't want to follow this crowd anymore. I don't want to follow this group of the people. I don't know why they are here. They're supposed to serve God. If they don't want to serve God, they must choose who they're going to serve. But it be me and my house, we were already make a decision. That even no matter what happened, even if it's cold or hot, we will still serve the Lord. Yeah. That someone that is one with God. He's not depending on someone else. He's not depending on someone else. Depending on God. And he knew that him, that what is matter to his life is God. And God now has a preeminence inside of his life. Because that's what the prophet said. That was the threefold purpose of God. That to have a preeminence inside of the life of his people. And he wants God to control. God be their rulers. God be their Lord of their life. God will tell them what to do. They have no their own rights. The right they have is Christ. Because they are one with Christ. Because the bride has no right in his own. In her own, she has the right of the husband. Now, as the church, the right that you must have is the right of Christ. Christ is the word, the revealed word in our time, that is our right. That we do things according to the way of the scripture. Now that's the desire of God, that I should write my word inside of their heart. That the word of God should move from being just the ink inside of the page of the Bible. The ink inside of the page of the spoken word. And the word of God will be made flesh inside of you. Don't you love that things? That God's word be written inside of your heart. That could be the desire. That must be the desire of every believer. That God move from the word, from the way of the tape, and God shall dwell inside here. Even where you can have no time to listen for the tape, but God is still reflecting inside of your life. That could be the desire. And that is the desire of God. And God wants to do it. But there's one condition. The things must be done according to the heavenly pattern. It has to be done according to the vision that God has shown to Moses. It has to go through stages of justification, completely justified. And it has to go to sanctification there. It must be sanctified. And you see even the way the scripture is showing us here in Ezekiel 26. It shows that the first thing that there you must be washed first to receive a new spirit first. That is just washed now. And be sanctified and get now the spirit of God inside of you. And that is the desire of God. And God wants to dwell inside of you and he wants to dwell inside of me. That's the covenant that God made. But we must be willing to lay aside everything and God can come and dwell. Let's read Hebrews 8 where we read in the beginning. Hebrews 8 from verse 10. For this the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, say the Lord, I will put my law into their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. You become a people of God when the law of God is written inside of your heart. That way you become a child of God, not joining the church, where the Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you. That way you become God, become you God, and you become the people of God. The prophet says he's not joining church, in being baptized in Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit that make you to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But going to the water of baptism, it just make you a member in the congregation. But it's not giving you the right to be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God to be you God, you must be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only one way that God must write his word inside of your heart. That is the desire that God wants to do it. That is the desire of God. That the new covenant of God. That God doesn't dwell anymore inside of the mercy seat there where the ark of God was. God is not anymore there. The veil was written. Why? God must be somewhere. And the prophet tells us that the mercy seat is in the bride. That's what the prophet tells us. In the dedication of the building, the prophet tells us that the mercy seat is in the bride now. That God moved from Christ. God moved from the shadow of the Old Testament now. And God put his dwelling place right inside of the body of Christ. That where you will find God. That where God dwells is the heart of man and the woman. That's why the prophet said the reason we love one another is Christ in my brother. Is Christ is my sister. That's what makes us love one another. If it's not because of it, it's nothing. But we see here that the desire of God. But you and I, we have a part to play. If we can put ourselves in prayer now, to surrender everything before the Lord, you say, Lord, I want to move from all other stages. It's been a long time since I was in justification. Long time I was in sanctification now. I want you to make your dwelling place inside of my heart. Amen. I want to surrender everything before thee. That leaving this place tonight should be something special happen inside of my life. Because you called me that you should make your dwelling place inside of me. That's what God called you for. That all the things that God will, that God can dwell inside of you, and he can dwell inside of me, then we will be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit. That we should be able to reflect the life of Christ and to fulfill all the scripture that the Bible says, that this thing shall do them that believe in me. They will lay hand on sick and they will get healed. They will speak with new tongues. When God is dwelling inside of you, when something genuine will happen, that you should welcome him. And I should welcome him tonight, that God. Let nobody depart from this place the way we come. Let something happen inside of our heart. Because you says in your heart that you want to dwell inside of us. That you desire, you show it from the beginning of things. You show it through shadows. And you show it through Christ now. And we see the scripture. And the prophet tell us the bride and the bridegroom must be one. And you are our bridegroom. We want you and I to be one. To be united with the word. Because the bridegroom is the word. Christ is the word. And we want to be one with the word. We want Christ to dwell inside of us. We want the invisible union with Christ. That desire that Christ should dwell inside of you. That is the invisible union of Christ. That Christ inside of the heart of man. That himself living there. That the things you do. That the things we do. It should be according to the way of the word of God. If that is your desire, let's all stand now. And sing a song. And let's surrender everything. And let's ask God to dwell inside of our hearts. That we should not worry about anybody else. Just think about your own life. And ask God to come and fulfill his word. Because the desire of God is that he shall dwell inside of human heart. And inside of your heart and my heart. Let's ask God to fulfill that scripture inside of our life. Let's sing, then we'll all enter a time of prayer.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the hand of God in me, I find safety in the reason of my bliss. Is the secret all is this, that the Comforter will abide with me. He abides, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me,
with me, with me.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me.
He abides. Oh,
he
abides
with me.
He abides.
He
inside me, and my night was turned to day. Oh, my burdens rolled away. Now the comfort abides with me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, he
if anybody has any prayer request, as we sing the chorus, we ask Father Vladi to come and close with a word of prayer. If anybody has any prayer request. He's the last very God. Hallelujah.
He's the last very God. And I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah. He's the
Father, we are coming once more before you, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Just realizing that without you we are nothing, O Lord.
Yes,
O Lord, you made us like wood, but you want to cover us with your Holy Spirit, with that pure gold, O Lord. Just we want to be simple, Lord, that we can receive you, that we can just go and walk with you, O Lord. Because your desire is that the word can be manifest in flesh, O Lord. Just we want to ask those things. Forgive our sins, trespasses, O Lord. Help us to walk closer, walk with you, O Lord. We just want to lift up our hands before you, O Lord. Our petition, whatever is, O Lord. You are one who are provider, O Lord. You are one who is provider, like we sang this song. Hallelujah. You are the answering God. We want to just pray in your name, O Lord. And we are coming because of your blood. Just cover us, O Lord. Clean us, O Lord. Be with us whenever we go from this place, O Lord. May your spirit will dwell in us, O Lord. You teach us. You lead us. You guide us, O Lord. Wherever we go, O Lord, you speak to our hearts. You change us, O Lord. We want to ask day by day. We want to commit our children, our families into your hands. We need your leadership, O Lord. We need you more in our lives, O Lord. We want to just put in everything into your hands. Those brothers, sisters who couldn't come, O Lord, we want to just commit them into your hands. Because you know the reason. You know everything, O Lord. We want to just put in front of you, O Lord. We want to commit our pastor in your hands. Just lead and guide him, O Lord. Give him inspiration, your inspiration, O Lord. When he will come, O Lord, that he will minister your word for your people. We are so thankful even for Brother Francois, he had to lay his time, many things aside. Lord, just come and minister for your children. Oh, you be his reward, O Lord. We want to just commend ourselves when we depart from this place. Be with us, O Lord. Protect us on our road. Be with us in our homes, O Lord. May our thinking and everything what we do be connected with you, O Lord. We ask those things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sing the chorus and we dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We meet here on a Friday by the grace of God.
Hallelujah, He's a Nazarene God. When I pray in Jesus' name and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's a Nazarene God. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name and by faith, the answer came. Hallelujah. He's an answering God.